50 countries have a Mother's Day. They don't all have it on the same date, but they're thinking about it. We have a poster at our house in Hebrew of Proverbs 31, and it was made in Israel, which means people in Israel are thinking of Proverbs 31. It's really the best for Mother's Day. We can't use it every year, so I wait 4 or 5 years, and this year we can come back to it and look at it again. In Hebrew, Proverbs 31 is a poem. Every verse begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. They do not have vowels in their alphabet. They put little punctuation marks to put in their vowels. So their Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And that's why the Mother's Day poem in Proverbs 31 is verses 10 through 21. We won't use the first part of Proverbs 31, but it is also part of the Bible written by a mother. The first 9 verses, King Lemuel, unknown, don't know anything about him. King Lemuel is quoting what his mother's taught him. He was a son of his mother's promises or vows. That sounds a lot like Hannah and Samuel, where the baby is dedicated and the baby is promised to serve God all his life. And that sounds like King Lemuel's mother was the same thing. He gives all this advice. He gets this advice from his mother. Verse 3, don't get ruined by evil women, because they will tend to destroy anybody, but especially rulers or kings. Verse 4, mom said, don't get drunk. That can be causing forgetfulness of doing what should be done or blaming other people. So don't get drunk. Verse 5, same thing, you'll forget what's right. Verse 6 does allow what we might call painkiller if someone's terminally ill, which I don't believe in euthanasia, but if someone is really sick, I do believe in giving them painkiller. And one verse is right here on that. Verse 8, take care of the disabled. Take care of the unfortunate. Verse 9, defend those who have been wrongfully charged and are being hurt. So the first part of Proverbs 31 is also teaching from a mother. The second part is a poem, so they probably don't go together, but the topics do go together, and that's why they've all been put together. The second part is in alphabetical order in the original, and we will begin just with verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. Excellence, okay. Virtuous, King James, that's okay. Noble, NIV, that's okay. It is mostly used of men. It's mostly used of soldiers. We talk about fields of valor. We talk about Medal of Honor. Concerning soldiers, this is men of valor, usually used of men, like of Gideon in Judges 6:12, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. So get ready for the fight. Proverbs 31, I think it's kind of good to leave some thought of making a fight in here, even though it is ladies. Used of Gideon in literal fighting, used of Joseph, who was valor in saving the nation from starvation. So economic fight. Through God we shall do valiantly, Proverbs 10:11 and 12. So we have excellent here, and that's okay, but I think I like valor because it kind of gives the idea of fighting. It gives the idea of women fighting. The family is under threat. The family is under danger. It was then, it is now. The wives and mothers of good Christian families have to push back. And so I like the idea of valor because it gives the idea of a lady soldier and it gives the idea of fighting back. Usually used of men in the Bible, but sometimes ladies. We just read one in our scripture reading for today, Ruth 3:10. All my people in the city know that you, that's a reference to Ruth, are a woman of valor, a woman of excellence, fighting for the family, fighting for doing what is right. Proverbs 12:4 is another lady. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. So there are mostly used of men soldiers, but this is not the only one that's used of women, mothers, wives, in fighting. Fighting for the family. Second part of the sentence, her value is above gems or jewels. It does have the idea of red in it. That's why probably some translations say rubies. It is used elsewhere of red corals. But her value is above rubies, and also kind of the idea that they're a little bit rare. We have lots of gems in the building. People are wearing rings, so they're not non-existent, but they're not real common. They're not all over the place. And so a woman of excellence, there are a lot of them, but it is not everybody. Not all the women out there are women of excellence. Not all of them are good wives and mothers. Many, kind of like gems, but not 100%. Going on in verse 10, it will talk about following, taking care of husband, taking care of needy, taking care of children, and we're going to get to them. But I would like to look at the outcome and then come back to those topics. The outcome is verse 30, the last part of verse 30, the second sentence. What is the outcome? But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs began its book with the fear of the Lord. It ends its book with the fear of the Lord. There were two different outcomes. In the beginning, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom. And here, the close of the book, verse 30, the fear of the Lord leads to praise, good words, other people saying good things. I'm glad that we kept singing hallelujah over and over again. Because that's the word for pray. Hallelujah is praise Yahweh. Here it doesn't have a Yahweh at the end of it. It's Hallel. And that is the Hebrew word for giving praise. Now, moms don't get worship. And wives don't get worship. But here is a way of good words. Kind of in the category of promotion. In the category of saying good things. So her attitude was finding what is right, doing what is right, fearing the Lord, and the end is admiration. So attitude, excellence, virtue, fight against what is wrong, outcome, other people praise. God praises. Now, we've done the beginning and we've done the end, and now we go back to look at it verse by verse. First, there's good things for her husband. And let's look at verses 11 and 12, and we'll do verse 23 underneath treatment of husband. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 23 is kind of the result. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So she is trustworthy. We would say the word is not used here, but it's actually unselfish. Because if she's thinking about doing her husband good, and later on doing the kids good, and later on doing the maidens who work for her good, and later on doing the poor people good, she is unselfish. So we would say trustworthy and unselfish. What would be the opposite? Well, the good lady, she can be out in the streets and it's no big problem. The opposite would be like Mrs. Potiphar in this story of Joseph in Genesis 39, where Mrs. Potiphar could certainly not be trusted, and she's trying to seduce the young business manager, Joseph. The excellent wife is trustworthy and with other people, but also trustworthy with handling money. Her goal is to do good for her husband, and it will talk about kids and poor people later, but do good for her husband. She won't cheat. She won't spend a lot of money on nothing that is not needed. She won't drain it all out. She can be trusted. The word trustworthy is okay, but there's kind of hope and confidence in her too. No worries. She will do what is right. Even if there's no one watching, even if there's no one taking care of it, she will be unselfish. She will work for the family. One result of this is that her husband is enabled to do some of his goals. And the result here is getting attention by other people in the community, maybe other people in the nation, as it talks about the elders of the land. Some opposites of the excellent woman, Job 2:9. Mrs. Job says, curse God and die. Well, that's not very good advice and not very helpful. Curse God and die, Mrs. Job. Another one is Jezebel, and she encouraged her husband Ahab to do evil. 1 Kings 21:25. Sure, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of good, a sight of the Lord, excuse me, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him. There you have these low-level wives like Mrs. Job and Jezebel. And then you have an excellent woman of valor, does him good all the days of her life. 1 Peter 3:7 says, heirs together of the grace of life. Kind of like pulling each other to each other, but also pulling each other up closer to God, heirs together of all of the rewards. Genesis 2:18, is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. Helper, that's where the name Ezra comes from. But I will make a helper suitable for him. Pulling together, going up. Lots of domestic work is coming. And let's read about that in verse 3 and following to verse 19. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She arises while it is still night and gives food to her household, portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. It is as if she's making threads. Well, wool is good for cold, sweaters and blankets. They did not have cotton in Old Testament times. That's coming later, probably getting there in New Testament times, but not yet in Israel. They had flax, which is from a plant. Linen, that's what's made out of it. She made linen garments. She made belts, could be what we call a sash. There's a reference to trade. Don't know how much trade this woman here did, but they'd had trade in those days. The what we call Canaanites, they were later called Phoenicians, and they had all these boats. They went all over the Mediterranean and probably the Horn of Africa and probably even India. And they would sell a lot of garments. Coming is going to be a reference to purple. They liked purple. It's even in the New Testament. Lydia, Acts 16, one of the first Christians in Europe, was a seller of purple. They liked purple. We have purple, but it's not every day that we would wear it. I thought about it today, but I thought Mother's Day is not good for purple, but they're trading in their boats, and they're doing purple garments all over the place. She did real estate business. Here's a field, plants crops, often grapes. Verse 17 is getting dressed, except what does she put on? Strength. So if you go in your closet and look for clothes and pull them off the hanger, what she's putting on here is strength. Greed is not good, but profit is good. We have that in the Bible. We don't want to be greedy. On the other hand, profit is a good thing. And you have that with a person. Jesus said, why didn't you put the money in the bank with interest? Otherwise, go to work with it. So profit was encouraged in New Testament parables. Profit is encouraged here, to what you might call the Protestant work ethic that is among here. Work and make money. Now, don't be greedy with the money, but work and make money and do God's will with it. The poor now are in verse 20 and needy. Verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Well, they don't have to be exactly the same category. Poor means doesn't have any money. A person in need might even have money. We can think of a person who's sick and in the hospital, and they might have money, but they're in need. So there's such a thing as losing a loved one, and the person isn't poor, but they have need. And she's doing both categories. She's helping the people that are poor and don't have enough, but she's also helping people who have various needs, fighting for the poor, fighting for those in needs. So we have to be careful that of people who are lacking. Some can lie. I always get worried about people knocking on the door and wanting things. They don't give them very much money, maybe a little. If they don't go here to church, I don't know them. That's kind of why we have a pantry. But the more known needs are people that we know personally. If we know people in the neighborhood, we know that they have worked hard, we know that they've got problems now, or other church members, we know that in their past they work hard and they have problems now. Those are the ones that deserve special help. I left verse 21 and 22 out because it's still about making clothes, but it has the word snow in it. It relates to the woman who is looking for winter coming. Trouble is coming. Hard times are coming, but it's actual literal snow. Verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. We're getting red and purple back again. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Well, left it by itself, it can snow in Israel. Every year it snows up north, Mount Hermon, all the time. Lots of snow up there. They can go skiing up there if there aren't too many wars. They can do a ski lift up there. Snows more often in the north, in Galilee, but it can snow in Jerusalem. So, point here, we're getting ready for winter coming, taking care of the family. There's a big pantry, there are clothes, there are blankets, taking care of everybody, looking ahead in the future. We've looked at verse 25, or said about putting on strength out of your closet, putting on that for clothes. But we'll read verse 25 because the last part adds smiling about the future. Verse 25. Her strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. It is true that the Bible's pattern for life is suffering and glory. There is suffering in this life, but at the same time that there is suffering, there's also some contentment. Maybe not giddiness all the time, but some contentment. That would be a good definition of joy. Don't have to be happy and silly and giddy, but content. And here she's smiling at the future because not everything will be bad. And she has made preparations for things that might be bad. Very trustworthy. Trustworthy in taking care of husband, trustworthy in taking care of the poor. Now trustworthy, we can say, teaching, and especially teaching the kids. Verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. The woman of valor in verse 26 especially teaches kindness. So you would think probably with words of teaching, but also example and behavior of teaching. There are many verses for fathers teaching children, but there are also some on mothers teaching children. The Apostle Paul's co-worker was Timothy, and in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5, his faith was first in his grandmother and mother. We don't know about his dad. But Timothy got his faith passed down in teaching from grandmother and mother. And it says in 2 Timothy 3 that from childhood he had known the scripture that made him wise unto salvation. Well, childhood, putting the other verse together, would be from mother and grandmother. So they taught him. Here's another lady teaching, Proverbs 1:8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. That's Proverbs 1:8. 6:20 is the same thing. So an excellent woman teaches by behavior, an example, teaches by words, and then they are told to pay attention to it. The first part of Proverbs 31 was Lemuel giving us his mother's teaching. In the Bible, often it'll say obey parents. It'll have both, which just assumes that they learned both from mom as well as dad. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother. Example, Jesus, Luke 2:52, he went down to them with them to Nazareth and continued in subjection to them, including his mother. Then it goes on to say, Mary pondered these things in her heart. So the woman of valor was teaching her children, and her children, the result is she shall be praised. Now, it's best not to say good things about self. We are not bold to classify ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. 2 Timothy 10:12. So not to praise self. Best to look at self and not say how good self is, but maybe to look at self and say, are we getting closer to Jesus? Still a little bit of a problem, but are we getting closer? Are we better than we used to be? So we can evaluate self, but we don't praise ourselves. That's for other people. But here it has happened with other people, especially husbands, especially kids, and especially other people. She did not eat the bread. And on my notes, I have bread and jelly of idleness. Verse 28, her children bless her. Barak is blessed. Baraka, which the church used to be named in its starting days. Her husband Halal praises her, and God blesses her. So we already kind of looked at the last part, but we'll go ahead and read it again and add some other thinking of the first sentence. So let's look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. That's kind of like around town. That's their way of saying it. We've already looked that a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So let's give a little bit of attention that beauty is vain. Good looks in the Bible are positive. They're not bad. So they're not bad. They're just not the reason to live. In the matriarchs, the ancestors of Israel, a lot of references to them looking good in Genesis. Sarah, Genesis 12:11, was a woman of beauty. Rebecca, Genesis 26:7, she is beautiful. Rachel, Genesis 29:17, Rachel was beautiful in form and face. So shall we say good? I wouldn't say bad, good. It's just here it's saying it's not the top, not the most important thing. So the most important thing is character and living for God and living for other people. 1 Peter 3:4, the hidden person of the heart. So good looks are good. Good looks are positive. They don't have to be evil. But here, what is most important is what's on the inside. We're saved by faith alone, but there are rewards by works. Higher level rewards, lesser rewards. And here, there are other people in this life that say, that was very good. Husbands and children and other people. The woman of excellence is trustworthy. The woman of excellence is unselfish. The woman of excellence had a good work ethic. The woman of excellence looked out for other people with needs and could smile at the future, including the winter. The woman of excellence had teaching, especially teaching kindness. The woman of excellence had motives for the family, motives for God, motives for other people. I wish I could do Proverbs 31 every year, but not the best. So next Mother's Day will be something else. Questions, please come.